A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So I've been doing some good housekeeping over the past few days. And finally, I feel like got to the point where all my stuff is kind of 100% organized, which is a first in a lifetime moment, I have to say. And it took a few very focused mornings. And the key to success, although I think Hannah might have some disagreements about whether I can claim to have truly achieved success, but certainly I've become more organized, know where all my stuff is, better than any point in my prior life. The key to success was the My Weird Prompts podcast. I actually turned on the podcast a few times and decided I'm going to just listen to a bunch of episodes to keep my brain occupied while I clean, and it made it so much more enjoyable. As I was doing that, I thought about yet another prompt. Even with a phone, we've talked about, you know, technology trending towards convergence, which is something, I have to be honest, I heard when a guy from a tech consultancy came to speak to our school when I was about 13, and for some reason just was lodged in my brain. Maybe I thought it sounded very smart, but it actually, I don't know if that's an accepted thing, but it's true. If we look at the cameras in our smartphones, the voice recorders in our smartphones, all these things began as standalone components. And then they got folded. And we always have this kind of tug and pull, I would say, if that's how that's the expression, between people who need really good things and people for whom this is good enough. If we look at cameras, just because our smartphones have cameras doesn't mean that cameras stopped existing. You can still go out and buy a mirrorless camera. And likewise for voice recorders, we talked about the less glamorous world of DVRs, but they still exist and they have a lot of independent value. Here's my question that I had when I was listening to these episodes. As you know, I sometimes struggle with distraction. And one thing about a smartphone is it's full of distractions. Because it can do so many things, I was putting on the podcast and saying, wait, was that an email? I better read my email. And it got me thinking as I was going through my stuff, I chanced upon a super basic MP3 player from maybe 15 years ago. Dead as a doorknob, it went into the trash. But I was thinking, does anyone actually still make decent MP3 players? Now, I was thinking that it would be great to load up My Weird Prompts. And the next time I'm doing something like this, because this technique worked for my particular form of distractibility, instead of counting on my own often weak reserves of self-discipline to keep focused and not turn on other things on the phone, I could just play this podcast from an MP3 player. And then I said, wait a second, it's not that simple. I'd also probably, I need to have some way to note that I've listened to a track before and update with new tracks because the podcast is an RSS feed. So then I was thinking, well, this thing is going to have internet. So my question is this, I boiled my spec down to something that can do as few things as possible, but the thing that it does is podcast consumption. So I'm thinking about something like an Android that maybe has a custom OS on it, a small form factor like the iPods of yesteryear, but can't do too many things because this is the anti-distraction thing I want. I'd even be happy to have something that could have maybe Spotify, music, just keeping it to audio, but doing nothing else. No web browsing, no emails, no voice messages. Just enough that if you wanted to have this thing charged for listening to podcasts. And the other thing about podcast listening for those who follow series is you have to have some way of keeping track of what you've listened to. I was even thinking for a while, you'll sometimes see speakers that have, they'll take a micro SD card. I thought, oh, I could write a program that would, if when you play something, it records the plays, and that's an if I'm not sure about, could you just write a little GUI that you pop in the micro SD card, it would delete stuff that you've played, pull in the new episodes, say sync done, and you take it out. And that's actually another approach, but I feel like a little bit of flexibility would be probably make this idea more useful. So Herman and Corin, that's what I'm looking for. It's on my, you know, this would be nice to have list. A music only player, handheld, like the iPod of yesteryear, with a little bit of high tech, and just enough high tech utility to handle the things it needs to do this usefully, namely Bluetooth audio sync to connect to speakers, maybe a digital output, internet to pull in podcasts, music, and that's it. Do these things exist anymore? And if so, what are they called? And any good ones on the market that me or other subscribers might like?
Daniel sent us this one. He's been doing a big organizational clean out, and he stumbled on a dead MP3 player that got him thinking. The core question is whether anyone still makes a decent dedicated audio player in what he calls the iPod of yesteryear form factor, something that can handle podcast RSS feeds and maybe music streaming, but deliberately strips out everything else. No email, no browser, no notifications. The anti-distraction device.
Oh, this is a genuinely good question. And the timing is actually interesting, because we're in this weird moment where the dedicated audio player market has both collapsed and quietly resurged. It's a tale of two completely different markets.
The phoenix that rose from the ashes of the iPod Classic.
So let me lay out the landscape. The short answer is yes, these things exist, and they fall into roughly three buckets. Bucket one is what I'd call the audiophile digital audio players. Companies like Fio, Astell and Kern, Sony's Walkman line, Shanling, Hebe. These are alive and well. Bucket 2 is the retro budget stuff. SanDisk still technically makes the Clip series. There's a whole ecosystem of cheap, no-name players on Amazon. And Bucket 3 is what I think Daniel is actually looking for, which is almost a third category, the repurposed minimalist Android device.
Let's unpack those, but start with the problem he's actually trying to solve. It's not just, I want an MP3 player. It's, I want a device that plays podcasts, syncs via RSS, and does as close to nothing else as possible, because my phone is a distraction machine and I know myself.
And that self-knowledge is the key part here. He's not asking for a better phone. He's asking for a worse phone that's better at being one thing.
The musical equivalent of a typewriter in a room with no Wi-Fi.
That's exactly the framing. So let's talk about the audiophile players first, because that's where the real product development has happened. Fio has a whole line, the M-Series, the M11, M115, M17. Astell and Kern makes players that cost more than a MacBook, the Sony NWZX series. These things are gorgeous pieces of hardware, machined aluminum, high-end DAC chips, balanced outputs, and here's what matters for this prompt. Almost all of them run some flavor of Android.
Which is the Trojan horse problem. If it runs Android, it can run Gmail.
That's the tension. Most of these players run a skinned, locked-down Android. No Play Store by default on many of them, or a curated app store. Fio's players, for example, ship with a whitelisted set of apps. You get Tidal, you get Spotify, you get podcast apps like Pocket Cast or Antennapod. But you don't get Chrome, you don't get Gmail, you don't get the Play Store unless you deliberately sideload it.
Does the OS fight you if you try to make it do more?
In some cases, yes. The Fio M6, which is their entry-level model, about $150, runs a heavily modified Android that's basically locked to music and podcast apps. The screen is small, the processor is modest, and even if you wanted to browse the web on it, you'd hate the experience. Which is actually the feature.
It's distraction-proof by being terrible at distractions.
And that's a legitimate design philosophy. The Hybe R3 series takes this even further. It runs a proprietary Linux-based OS, not Android at all. No App Store. It does music playback, it can do Bluetooth, it has a digital output, but it cannot run anything you didn't intend it to run.
That sounds closer to what Daniel's describing. But does it handle podcast or RSS feeds?
This is where it gets tricky. The super locked-down non-Android players, the Hybe R3, the Shanling M0 Pro, some of the ultra-budget stuff. They typically don't have a native podcast app with RSS subscription support. They'll play MP3 files you load onto a micro SD card, but they won't pull down new episodes over Wi-Fi. You'd be back to the manual sync workflow Daniel described. Download on a computer, transfer to the card, swap it in.
Which he floated as an idea, but then immediately identified the friction. He wants something that updates itself and tracks what he's listened to.
So that pushes us toward the Android-based players, where you can install a proper podcast app. and this is where I think the sweet spot for his use case actually lives. Something like the FiiO M6 or the Sony NWA306. These run Android, they connect to Wi-Fi, they have Bluetooth, they can run Pocket Cast or AntennaPod or Podcast Addict. The podcast app handles the RSS feeds, the download queue, the play tracking, the sync across devices if you want that. But because these aren't phones, the operating system isn't nagging you. There's no notification shade full of alerts. The screen is small enough that typing is annoying. The whole device is oriented around one thing.
The lo-fi girl of portable electronics.
I'm going to sit with that one for a second. It's a device that knows what it is and isn't trying to be anything else.
Let me push on the practical side. Daniel mentioned Bluetooth audio sync, maybe a digital output. What's the actual connectivity on these things?
On the current generation, it's pretty solid. The FiiO M6 has two-way Bluetooth. It can receive and transmit, so you can use it with wireless earbuds or speakers. It has a USB-C port that doubles as a digital audio output, which means you can connect it to an external DAC or a speaker system that takes USB audio. It also has a standard 3.5mm headphone jack, which at this point is practically a political statement.
Homan Poppleberry, defender of the headphone jack.
I'll wear that badge. The Sony NWA36 is similar, Bluetooth 5.0 USB-C with digital out headphone jack. The screen is 3.6 inches, which is tiny by phone standards. It runs Android 13, believe it or not, but Sony's custom launcher makes it feel like a Walkman, not a phone. You can install podcast apps from the Play Store. And Sony claims about 36 hours of playback on a charge if you're using wired headphones, which drops with Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, but you're still getting through a week of heavy podcast listening.
36 hours is substantial. What's the storage situation?
The Sony has 32GB internal, expandable via microSD. The FiiO M6 has no internal storage of note. It's all microSD. But microSD cards are cheap and enormous now. You can put a 1TB card in these things and carry every podcast episode ever produced.
Until you lose the card in a couch cushion, and your entire audio library vanishes into the upholstery dimension.
That's a risk with any physical media. But the upside is, you're not streaming over cellular, you're downloading on Wi-Fi and playing locally. No data caps, no dead zones.
Let's talk about the budget end. Because Daniel didn't say he wants to spend audiophile money on this experiment.
The FiiO M6 is about $150. The Sony NWA36 is around $350. Those are the mid-range. But there's also the SanDisk Clip Sport Plus, which is about $60. It's tiny. It has a clip. The name delivers. It has Bluetooth. It has a microSD slot. And it runs SanDisk's own simple OS. No Android, no apps. But here's the catch. It doesn't do podcast RSS natively. You'd have to sync files manually.
Which defeats the purpose he outlined.
There's a workaround. Some podcast apps on a computer can auto-sync to a mounted SD card, like a scripted solution. But that's more tinkering than he probably wants.
The real answer seems to be, these devices exist. They're called digital audio players, or DAPs. And the ones that meet his spec are the Android-based models from FiiO, Sony, Hebe, and Shanling. With the caveat that he's going to want to deliberately choose one where the Android implementation is locked down enough that installing a web browser is either impossible or sufficiently painful to serve as a deterrent.
That's the summary. But I want to dig into the philosophy here because I think there's something bigger going on. Daniel's prompt is really about intentional single-purpose computing, and we're seeing a small but real resurgence of that.
The convergence pendulum swinging back.
For about 15 years, the story was convergence, everything into the smartphone, and it worked. The smartphone camera destroyed the point and shoot market. The smartphone GPS destroyed the dedicated sat-nav market, but what didn't die were the things where good enough wasn't actually good enough, or where the very capability of the smartphone became the problem.
The smartphone is a camera, but it's also a portal to Twitter. The smartphone is a music player, but it's also pinging you with Slack notifications. The tool and the distraction live in the same glass rectangle.
So we're seeing this counter-movement. People buying dedicated e-readers because reading on a phone means fighting every other app for attention. People buying dedicated music players because streaming on a phone means the algorithm is watching you and the notifications are interrupting. The distraction-free device becomes a luxury good.
Like adopting a feral cat.
I'm not sure I follow the analogy, but I trust it's going somewhere.
You're deliberately choosing something less domesticated, less convenient, because the inconvenience is the feature. The friction is what you're buying.
Okay, that does track. And with these dApps, the friction is intentional. You're not going to impulse check Instagram on a Fio M6. The screen is too small, the processor is too slow, and the browser, if it even has one, is a miserable experience.
The other thing Daniel mentioned that I want to circle back to is the play tracking problem. He wants to know what he's listened to, and he wants new episodes to appear without him manually managing files. That's an RSS problem, and it's actually the hardest part of this spec.
And it's why I think the solution has to be software-defined, not hardware-defined. The hardware exists. Any of these Android dApps can do it. The question is, which podcast app he uses and how he configures it.
What would you recommend?
For this use case, I'd say AntennaPod. It's open source, it's lightweight, it handles our SS feeds directly, it has auto-download and auto-delete options, and it doesn't have any of the algorithmic recommendation cruft that something like Spotify or even Pocket Casts has built in. You subscribe to a feed, it downloads new episodes on Wi-Fi, it tracks what you've played, and it can be set to delete episodes after you've listened to them.
The workflow would be, pick up the device, open AntennaPod, see the new episodes that downloaded overnight, listen, and when you're done, the episode auto-deletes or marks itself played, no computer involved, no SD card swapping.
And if he wanted to get fancy, he could set up something like Audio Bookshelf, which is a self-hosted podcast server that gives you your own private RSS feeds with cross-device sync. But that's veering into home lab territory, and I think the prompt is asking for simplicity.
Simplicity and constraint. The whole point is to have fewer options, not more.
And that brings me to something I want to flag about the current market. There's a category of device that almost fits this spec but has a fundamental problem. The so-called Android music players you find on Amazon for $40 or $50 from brands like AGPTEK or Luron. These run ancient versions of Android, often without the Play Store, and the build quality is abysmal. The Bluetooth chips are unreliable, the batteries degrade after months, and the software is janky. I cannot recommend them. They're the MP3 player equivalent of those smart light bulbs that phone home to a server in Shenzhen that went offline 3 years ago.
The digital equivalent of a gas station sandwich.
You're on a roll today. If you're going to do this, spend the $150 to $300 and get something from a company that actually supports its products. Fio, Sony, Shanling, Hibia, these companies release firmware updates. They have user communities. The devices hold their value reasonably well.
If he wants to go even more minimalist, no Android at all, just pure audio, what's the trade-off?
Enjoying the show, funny thing by day. The guy behind the mic's got a whole other play. Name's Daniel Rosehill and he builds agentic AI. The kind that actually ships, not the kind that just tries. Carrot Cake AI, that's the shop. CarrotCakeAI.com, where the weird ideas drop. Find him on GitHub, check the open source he's made. On Hugging Face with models shared, not sold, not afraid. Got a workflow in your org that needs a smarter brain. Drop him a line and watch what he can explain. Carrot Cake AI, that's the shop. CarrotCakeAI.com, where the weird ideas drop. Daniel Rosehill, the name, the face, the firm. CarrotCakeAI.com.
Say hi, he actually writes back.
Then you're looking at something like the Shanling M0 Pro, which is about $110. It's tiny, smaller than a credit card. It has a touchscreen. It plays basically every audio format. It has Bluetooth. It has USB-C with digital out. But it does not have Wi-Fi. So you're back to the manual sync model. You download podcast episodes on a computer, transfer them via USB or microSD, and the device would play them in order.
Which is what Daniel was describing with his pop in the SD card, sync done idea.
And for some people, that workflow is actually preferable. It creates a deliberate ritual. You sit down once a week, you curate what you're going to listen to, you load it onto the device, and then you're offline. No temptation to check for new episodes mid-listen. No endless scrolling through a feed.
The podcast equivalent of meal prepping.
That's a useful way to think about it. And the Shanling M0 Pro, or the Hi-Bee R3 Dahlio, which also lacks Wi-Fi in its base configuration, these are excellent audio players. The dot chips in these things outperform what's in most smartphones. If you're listening on good headphones or a decent speaker, you'll notice the difference.
Let's talk about the second part of Daniel's spec, the Bluetooth and digital output requirements. He mentioned wanting to connect to speakers.
All the devices I've named support Bluetooth, and the current generation uses Bluetooth 5.0 or better, which means solid range and support for higher quality codecs like LDAC and aptX HD. The digital output via USB-C means you can connect to an external DAC or a powered speaker system that takes USB audio directly. That's a feature that didn't exist on the iPods of yesteryear. You were stuck with the headphone jack or the 30-pin connector.
The iPod didn't have Bluetooth until relatively late in its life.
The iPod Touch did, but the Classic never got it. The iPod Classic was the last great single-purpose audio device from a major company, and Apple killed it in 2014. The used market for iPod Classics is actually still active. People mod them with solid-state storage and new batteries, but they'll never do RSS or Bluetooth without significant hacking.
That's not the answer here. The answer is a modern DAP from a company that's still making them.
And I want to name one more option that's interesting but slightly different. The Lite Phone. It's not an audio player per se, it's a minimalist phone. But the Lite Phone 2 has a music player and a podcast tool, and it deliberately has no web browser, no email, no social media. It's an e-ink screen. It's designed to be as boring as possible. The catch is, it doesn't have a podcast app with full RSS subscription management. It's more of a basic player. And it's $300 for something that's primarily a phone.
It's adjacent, but not quite the thing. Okay, so if I'm Daniel and I'm making a purchase decision after this conversation, what am I buying?
I'd say the Fio M6 is the closest match to his spec at a reasonable price. It's around $150. It runs a locked-down Android that doesn't invite distraction. You can install AntennaPod or Pocket Cast from Fio's curated app store. It has Bluetooth, USB-C, digital out, a headphone jack, and a micro SD slot. The screen is small and low resolution enough that you won't want to do anything on it except navigate your audio library. And Fio has been in this game for years. They're not going to disappear tomorrow.
The Sony NW-A36 is the upgrade pick?
Yes, if budget allows. $350 gets you a better screen, better build quality, better battery life, and Sony's audio processing, which is good. It runs a fuller version of Android, so you'd want to be more disciplined about what you install. But the hardware is lovely, and it feels like a premium product in a way that scratches the same itch the iPod Classic did.
This is a beautiful object I want to hold factor.
And I think that matters. Part of what Daniel's describing is a desire for a device that feels intentional. When you pick up a dedicated audio player, you're making a choice, I am now going to listen to something. When you pick up a phone, you're just picking up your phone. It's the default state of modern existence.
The phone is the digital equivalent of ambient noise. The dedicated player is the act of putting on headphones and saying, I'm doing this now.
And there's research that backs this up, not specifically about audio players, but about context and attention. When a device can do many things, your brain keeps a portion of its attention allocated to all of those possibilities, even when you're only using one. It's called attentional residue. You finish reading an email, you switch to a podcast, but part of your brain is still half expecting another email.
The single-purpose device isn't just about removing temptation. It's about allowing full cognitive engagement with the one thing you're doing.
And that's why I think Daniel's instinct here is correct, even if the market hasn't perfectly served this need. The devices exist. They're just not marketed as anti-distraction podcast players. They're marketed as high-resolution audio players for audiophiles. But the hardware is the same.
It's a positioning problem, not a product problem.
If someone made a device that was explicitly the podcast player, does RSS, does Bluetooth, does nothing else, costs $100, I think they'd sell a surprising number of units. But the market is small, and the smartphone has eaten most of it.
The smartphone ate the world, and now we're picking through its stomach contents, looking for the bits we actually wanted.
That's a vivid image. The dedicated GPS is gone. The point and shoot camera is mostly gone. The MP3 player is almost gone, but it's hanging on in this niche. Audiophiles who want high-end DACs, and people like Daniel who want to escape their phone.
What about the used market? If someone wanted to spend less than $100?
Used iPod Touches are available, but they're just iPhones without the cellular modem. Same distractions. Used VO or Sony players hold their value reasonably well, but you can find an M6 for under $100 if you're patient. The challenge is that this category of device doesn't depreciate the way phones do, because there's no carrier subsidy and no 2-year upgrade cycle. People buy them and keep them.
Which is actually a good sign for the product category. If people aren't upgrading every year, it means the thing does its job.
A good DAP from 2020 is still a good DAP today. The audio formats haven't changed, Bluetooth hasn't changed in ways that break backward compatibility, and an RSS feed is an RSS feed. This is the anti-obsolescence category.
To answer the prompt directly, yes, these devices exist. They're called digital audio players, or DAPs. The ones that handle podcast RSS feeds without manual syncing are the Android-based models from FIO, Sony, Hibi, and Shanling. The budget pick is the FIO M6 at about $150. The premium pick is the Sony NWA-306 at about $350. Install AntennaPod, connect to Wi-Fi, subscribe to the My Weird Prompts RSS feed, and you've got a dedicated podcast machine that won't ping you about email.
If you want to go fully offline with manual syncing, the Shanling M0 Pro or the Hibi R3 are excellent choices around $100 to $150. But you lose the automatic RSS updates.
One thing we haven't addressed. Daniel mentioned Spotify in his spec. Does the FIO M6 handle Spotify?
It does through FIO's App Store. But here's the thing. Spotify is not a podcast app. It's a music streaming service that also hosts podcasts, and its podcast features are mediocre. No RSS import, no fine-grained download controls, and the interface mixes podcasts and music in ways that make library management frustrating. If the goal is podcasts specifically, a dedicated podcast app is the way to go.
Use the FIO for Spotify music if you want, but keep the podcast listening in AntennaPod or Pocket Casts.
And that separation is actually useful for the anti-distraction goal. Different apps for different modes. You open the podcast app when you want podcasts. You open Spotify when you want music. There's no algorithmic feed trying to guess what you want next.
The algorithm is the ultimate distraction.
The algorithm is designed to keep you engaged, not to help you finish what you came to do. That's the fundamental tension. A podcast app that just shows you your subscribed feeds in chronological order is the antidote to that.
I want to zoom out for a second. Daniel mentioned that the thing that made his cleaning project work was putting on My Weird Prompts to occupy his brain while his hands were busy. That's a specific use case. Audio is cognitive scaffolding for physical tasks.
There's good research on this. Mild cognitive load from audio, a podcast, an audiobook, can actually improve performance on repetitive physical tasks by preventing the mind from wandering. It's not that the podcast makes you better at cleaning. It's that the podcast prevents the part of your brain that would otherwise say, "This is boring, let's check email," from derailing you.
The podcast is doing double duty. It's entertainment, and it's also an attentional anchor.
And a dedicated device amplifies that effect, because there's no competing stimulus. The phone isn't buzzing. The screen isn't lighting up with a notification. The only thing happening is the audio.
Which brings us back to the core insight of Daniel's prompt. The phone is too capable to be a good podcast player for someone who struggles with distraction. The solution isn't more self-discipline. It's a device that makes discipline unnecessary.
Environmental design over willpower. It's the same principle as not keeping junk food in the house. If the temptation isn't there, you don't have to resist it.
$150 for a device that removes the temptation to check email, browse Twitter, read the news, and do everything else a phone can do. That's actually cheap if you value your attention.
The attention economy has made our attention expensive. Spending money to protect it is rational.
All right, let's wrap with a practical summary for anyone in the same boat. What's the shopping list?
First, decide whether you need automatic RSS downloads or you're okay with manual syncing. If you want automatic, get an Android-based DAP. The FIO M6 is the value pick, about $150. The Sony NWA-36 is the premium pick, about $350. Both have Bluetooth, USB, C digital out, headphone jacks, and micro SD expansion. Install AntennaPod for podcasts. Optionally install Spotify or Tidal for music. Do not install anything else.
If you're okay with manual syncing,
Shanling M0 Pro, about $110, or the Hi-Bee R3, similar price. These have better audio hardware than the Android players at the same price point, but no Wi-Fi and no apps. You'll download episodes on a computer and transfer them via USB or microSD. It's more work, but it's also more intentional.
The thing to absolutely avoid?
The no-name Android players on Amazon for under $50. Bad software, bad build quality, bad Bluetooth. They'll frustrate you more than they'll help you.
There it is. The dedicated podcast player exists. It's not called a podcast player. It's called a digital audio player. And it's marketed to people who care about FLIC files and DAC chips. But it does exactly what Daniel wants. And with the right app, it becomes the anti-distraction podcast machine.
If anyone listening knows of a company actually making a purpose, built podcast device, RSES, Bluetooth, nothing else, tell us. Because that's a product we'd love to see.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late Victorian period, a British colonial administrator stationed in Vanuatu drafted an official report on the island's natural resources using ink derived from horseshoe crab blood, chosen because the administrator believed, incorrectly, that its distinctive blue color would deter document forgers. The report still exists in the Vanuatu National Archives, and the ink has faded to a pale teal.
Blue ink as an anti-forgery measure. That's a level of confidence in ink I didn't know existed.
That's the administrative equivalent of a ghost.
This has been my Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show.
Find more episodes at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back with a new prompt soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My Weird Prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My Weird Prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.